Christmas has become about everything except for Christ. I mean, we've got Black Friday, and we got Cyber Monday, and we've got all kinds of traffic to rush to get those last minute gifts. And we got the Christmas lights to put up, we got the Christmas tree to put up. Now, some of you love putting up the Christmas tree. How many of you don't like putting up that Christmas tree, but you know it's got to be done? Okay? You got to put those decorations up. Some of you love doing that, some of you don't. Some of you love to go out and get gifts, some of you don't. Some of you have had to work and you get like Christmas Eve and Christmas Day off. And it's kind of like, don't they realize how much extra work is involved in getting ready for Christmas? And there's just all kinds of things that go on about Christmas that it has become so commercialized that it's just hard to really stop and focus on Christ. I was talking with somebody this week, and they were telling me about their experiences in Europe and how Christmas was in Europe, and how it's about Santa Claus. And some people will go to church. The only day they go to church is for the Christmas Mass or for Easter, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful cathedrals, and they hire people to come in and sing. I think that's interesting, too, when you think of a church hiring people to come in and sing. And you don't care if they're Christians or not, but just because we want beautiful music. And it's such a beautiful atmosphere, and yes, yet it's just an empty shell. And you come in, and you've got all this adornment around you, but then it's just hollow. And we don't want Christmas to be like that. But if we're going to admit it in our country, it's becoming more and more like that. It's becoming more about getting the kids to see Santa and getting presents and getting all those things done. And I had a young lady, one of our youth, asked me last night. She said, "Okay, what are you preaching on this week?" Because if you remember last week, I was going to continue what I started 2 weeks ago and didn't get done. And we got in there and the children were up here and we didn't know what the time would be. And I just thought, you know, we got the children up there. We need to talk about the hope that God gives us, you know, and all things are important, and how we respond to the world we're in like God wants us to, and how do we represent Jesus. That's very important. And so I was going to carry it on. And then yesterday, as I got to thinking, you know, this is really our Christmas. You know, next week is after Christmas. I don't know about you guys, but when Christmas is over, how many of you want to take the tree down? And I just felt like, you know, we probably, if we're going to have a Christmas service, it needs to be focused completely on Jesus. Not about, you know, how we serve Jesus or what Jesus wants us to do in these times or how we look and things like that. But it needs to just focus on Jesus. So, if you're like that youth and you actually are taking notes and following along, I know I told you that we were going to be moving on, but we're not. We're going to stop for something more important, and that is to take a good look at Jesus Christ and why he came in the flesh. You know, sometimes Christmas comes by and Christianity goes by so fast that some of the basic questions about Christianity people can't answer. You know, what is salvation? What is sin? Why did Jesus come? Those are all important questions. And I'm going to take you back to the beginning, and we're just going to kind of walk through. So if you'll open your Bibles to John chapter 1, we're going to kind of bounce back a little bit between John chapter 1 and John chapter 8, where Jesus is speaking some things as a man that relate back to what is said about him in John chapter 1. But this is the beginning of things, and it's probably a verse that most of you have memorized because it is so beautifully, poetically written. But in John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And back in ancient times, the Greeks would would like to come together, and the Jews like to come together and talk and to argue and not so much as an argument, but like kind of like a vetting process of to try to find the truth about who God was. And the Greeks would come together and try to find the truth about life and try to find the truth about why we're here and what is truth and what is existence and stuff. And they would call that the Word. And, you know, recently, I guess maybe 10, 15 years ago, some of you remember rappers would use that term also. They'd say, hey, man, it's the Word, you know. And someone would say something really deep and profound, and they'd go, word, you know. Say, okay. What they're trying to say is that what you just said, it captured and expressed some deep, deep truth that's hard to grasp. And Jesus Christ coming to earth, he is the essence or the expression of what really needs to be said to understand God. And it's in the flesh right there where we can touch it and we can handle it and see it. So it's saying in the beginning, what is so impossible for us to do, which is to express who God is, that expression actually came to earth. And that expression was God himself, because no one can explain God but himself. We can't even understand fully what God is when he explains it. But the word that comes was God. And it goes on and it says in verse 2 and 3, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and nothing was made that was made. And in verse 14, that very familiar verse, the Word became flesh or human, and it dwelt or it lived among us. And we beheld, and that word beheld means more than just saw it, but we were able to see, and if we think about it, to be able to understand and grasp a little bit about who he is, his glory, his greatness, his vastness beyond us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus Christ came to earth to reveal to us how great and magnificent God really is, and how much his heart is filled with grace and with truth. And those are two things that are hard for us as human beings to grasp. As human beings, we're so performance-oriented and we're so judgmental ourselves that it's really difficult for us to understand the forgiveness, the mercy, and the grace of God. And it's also very difficult for us because our human desires want things so bad that our minds will justify and twist just about anything that we want really bad enough that it's hard for us to keep a clear focus on what the truth is. And that's why we have the Word of God, and that's why we don't trust in our feelings, and we don't trust in our heart, and we don't trust in what our natural mind thinks, because the Bible tells us that the natural mind cannot receive the things of God. They're spiritually revealed, and we realize that when we read God's word and we're seeking to say, okay, I want to know what you're saying. I want to know what you're saying to me. I want to understand who you are, not who I think you are or who I wish you were or who someone else tells me you are, but I want to understand who you are. Help me as I look in this. Let your spirit open my eyes to understand who you are, because the scriptures point to Christ. We don't read them so that we get those rules and those principles of life so we can have a good life. They were written so we could find the truth. Because if you take Jesus out of the picture, then all the things that logically make sense, there's something missing. There's a piece missing there when God's not there. And so what we think is the truth, if it does not include who God is and who his plan for us is, what his plan for us is and what his desires for us are, it's partial truth. And all of you know a good lie is just partial truth. We need that full picture filled in. And Christ came to earth, Jesus came to earth to fill that in for us, to help us to understand what our minds could not conceive, to live a life here on earth as a human being so that we could really understand how to relate to God as a human being and how God wants to relate to us as a human being. We could see that rather than try to imagine it just thinking of a God who fills the universe that's so big we can't understand who he is. He humbled himself and took on flesh. In Hebrews 2:14-15, it says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, his son also became flesh and blood. The NIV says he too shared in their humanity. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. God knew what we needed. We needed something that was on our level. We know that the thoughts of God, as the heavens are above the earth, so are the thoughts and the ways of God above our thoughts and ways. It's so far above us that we cannot in our minds understand who God is without the Holy Spirit opening our hearts and eyes to understand his presence in our lives, which is more powerful than our circumstances. And so he became flesh, and we were able to see a human being who did not live in fear. He wasn't afraid of what other people thought of him. He spoke the truth. He wasn't afraid to be vulnerable. He wasn't afraid to reach out and love and give for what the need was, because he was afraid that he might not be able to have what he needed. He was able to live a life that was doing what God was telling all of us that we should do. And that if we were aligned with him, like Christ was aligned with him, that we don't need to worry about those things. Because if we're in the center of God's will, then God is able to fulfill his plan for us. And we don't need to fear. And then the greatest fear of all, and all of us at times have that overwhelming fear as it comes and we think death could be close. You know, we don't want to think about it when it's not close. But when you have that doctor tell you, you know, you've got cancer, or when you're screeching up next to a car and you think, this is it. You know, we realize that we don't want to die. We don't know what's in the future as far as our senses are. It's the unknown. We have the promise from God. We didn't come from heaven, so we don't know where we're going. The familiar is here. And Christ came on earth and he lived a perfect life submitted to God's will. He actually walked in the kingdom of God. And then when the persecution of the world that we all face at times and that we can all see are going to face in a much greater degree, and we know around the world that people face, that fear that his life being lost would be more important than the promise of God. Jesus Christ was able to walk by faith and to fulfill God's will even unto death. And he opened our eyes to see the greatness and the power of God that could raise him from the dead, that even death we don't need to fear. And we saw that picture that only God could show us. Because as human beings, we couldn't live with faith like that. But we saw, modeled for us by God himself who became flesh, what life is intended to be. And it gives us the hope and the faith to step out and trust God so that his Holy Spirit can help bring and mature and sharpen that faith to be able to experience more and more a life that walks with him rather than is constantly trying to separate from him. John 1:4 says this. It says, in him was life. And in the Bible, life is not what we are thinking of, just this physical being. Life is much more than that. Life means to be in union with, or to be together with, or to be connected to. Right now, all of us have physical life because we're in union with our body. Our spirit, who we are, is in union with our body. We all know at some time we're going to have physical death. And our spirit, or whatever you want to call our consciousness, who we really are, the part that thinks and that feels, that's not really connected to our body. If my arm is cut off, I'm still the same person. I just don't like that I can't pick things up. But you can't cut who I am out. You can't cut that person who feels and that person who loves and that person who desires. You can't touch that. It lives on forever. At one time, it will no longer be in union with our body and we will physically die. But you know what the Bible says, and even people who are not believers, almost all of them, unless their hearts have been so hardened, they have this sense, because the Bible tells us that God put eternity in our heart. We all think there's something bigger than this life. We all think that there's something beyond. And there's something inside of us that just knows that when we physically die, there's something else. We don't know what it is. And the Bible is teaching us right here that we're either in union and connected to and together with God, and we're spiritually alive, or we're spiritually dead. We're not connected to Him. We're not in union with Him. We're not together with Him. And the further we walk away, the less we even know how to do that, or who He is, or what He wants. And our consciences can become so hard that we don't even care what He wants anymore. But Jesus says that in Him, the Bible says, that in Him, in Christ, was life. He was always in union with God. He was always together with God. As a human being, He was connected to God. God lived in Him. And that life was the light of men. And so when we see Christ, we see what it means to walk with God, to be connected with God. We couldn't see that from another human being. In John 8, chapter 12, he's speaking of this, and he's speaking to people, and he says, once more, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. And so Jesus is telling us that when we follow him and we obey his words and we live the way he wants us to, he is leading us closer and closer to God. And as we experience that, our eyes are opened to who God is, to who we really are, to what life is about, to how we make the right choices. Because when we're separated from God, the truth is we don't know how to make the right choices. And it's why we shouldn't judge people making the wrong choices. Back to chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible says, the light, speaking of Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Some translations say has not comprehended it. Other of your translation says has not perceived it. Others of it say not extinguished it or overpowered it, other translations say, or have not overcome it. And they're all based off what we talked about a couple weeks ago in Romans 1. And that is that sin is when we push ourselves away and separate from God, when we decide that we will suppress that truth or hold that truth down or push that truth away. Because the knowledge of God that he created us, it's there, and creation speaks it, but we don't want to know that. Because we have some things that we want to do that deep down we know that's not what God wants us to do. But we feel like that if we don't make these choices and take control of our life and become our own authority, our own God, and we don't do these things that we know if we're listening to God, he doesn't want us to do, we feel like our life will never be accepted, we'll never be loved, we'll never be successful, we'll never have the things that we need to be happy. And so what we do is we kind of take the truth of God and we get it down where we don't have to think about it. And we let our lives go so fast that we've just kind of pushed the awareness of God away. We kind of separate ourselves from that. The Bible says that's what being lost is. And God gives us free will. And he says, okay, if you want to follow me, I'll reveal myself to you. But if you don't want me, I'm not going to force you. I don't want you following me out of fear. I love you. I want you following me because you love me back and you see who I am, not because you see my hand like this above you. So if you want to separate from me, go ahead. And as you walk into darkness, the consequences of that hopefully will open your eyes to say, hey, look, man, my life is so confusing. I don't know what's going on here. My choices I thought would make my life better, they're making them worse. I thought this would be great for my family. I'm hurting them. And hopefully you would wake up and realize, I don't know enough about the world to be here without God. I need God and turn back to him. But in the darkness, and while we're separated from God, until we turn to him and we will listen to him by choice, it's hard to understand who God is. When you decide you will follow him no matter what, when you decide to worship God and bow down before him and submit and surrender your life to whatever he wants, and you're going to just trust him and do what he wants, even if it looks like you'll get hurt, what you find is God. He reveals himself to you. The light comes in, and you see the glory and the greatness of God as he works in your life. When you refuse to that, you cannot see God when you refuse to embrace him. In John 8:19, Jesus is talking to people who are in this situation. And he's trying to communicate to them that just because they're physically born descendants of Abraham or Jews or in God's physical family at that time, that didn't mean that they were connected to God. And he's talking about his father, who is God that they don't know. And they respond and they say, where is your father? They asked. Obviously, they didn't know he's talking about his father in heaven. And Jesus answered and said, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my father is. And if you knew me, you would also know my father. If you jump down a little bit further, in verse 24, he says, that is why I say to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. That's another word that makes it difficult in our day because we think of believe as what we think. And the best illustration, some of you have heard it before, that I know of and that I can think of, is someone who smokes cigarettes. And they've smoked cigarettes for 50 years. And they're just in horrible shape. And you come up to them, and they're smoking, and you say, hey, man, don't you know that's bad for your health? And they say, oh, believe me, I know that. I believe with all my heart these things are bad. Are you kidding me? They're killing me. I wish I could quit. They've ruined my whole life. I can't get up. I can't do anything. I believe with all my heart this cigarette is bad, and it's killing me. And the Bible would say, no, you believe that cigarette is good. And he would say, what do you mean? I'm a living testimony this is bad. And the Bible would say, well, what's in your fingers? He'd say, well, a cigarette. Why are you smoking it? Well, I can't. There's just something inside of me. I feel like I have to have it. I can't give it up. So you cling to that cigarette. It doesn't matter what you think is right. You cling to the cigarette. You can't let go of it because you think somehow you need and have to have that cigarette. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says believe. It's literally saying, if you cling to me, if you believe in me, in other words, if I turn to Christ and I say, well, my mind tells me that if I walk this way, I could lose my job. If I walk this way, these things could happen. I've got all these reasons why, I'll lose a relationship with my daughter. All these things that tell me if I do what God wants me to do, that it will not work. But I know that I have no place to go but God, and so I just cling to him, and I do it anyway, and I just hope that he will somehow bring me through. God says, that's great faith. And you'd say, well, I don't understand because I've got all these doubts. That's why it's great faith. Because even when you have great doubt, you will not separate from me. That is believing on me. And Jesus says that if we believe in him, we won't die in our sins. We won't die separated. All the different choices we made to separate from God so we could do things that we felt like we needed to do. We won't die and be separated from him if we believe in him. As a matter of fact, God will one by one start cleansing those attitudes from us. He will start maturing us. And we won't die in our sins. But if we don't cling to him, and we try by our own willpower to be better or to clean up certain areas, and we want to do better in the areas where we see the consequences of sin, but we don't want to do it in the areas that we think that we still might get what we need out of the world, and we got one foot in and one foot out, double-minded man, don't expect to receive anything of the Lord. Don't expect the Lord to open your eyes and let the light come in, because the issue is about where your heart is. Is your heart surrendered to God, or is your heart not surrendered to God? In John 14:6, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There is no way to reconciling with God outside of Jesus Christ. And the reason is because no one can get a clear picture of who Jesus, of who God is and how to relate to him outside of Jesus Christ. I can make up all kinds of ways in my mind in which I might could grow close to God but still be able to do things that I want and to justify those things. But in Christ, we see that if you don't pick up your cross and deny yourself and your selfish ambitions, if you don't lay that life, if you don't say, "Look, I don't want control of my life anymore. I'm going to do whatever you think and whatever you tell me to. I'm going to read that word. I want you to show me what you want me to do. I'm going to do it." In John 8:28, Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he." You cannot understand who God is without looking at the life of Jesus Christ. You cannot understand how a holy God who has such high standards could ever accept you and the way that you have not come close to fulfilling those standards. We're so performance-oriented that there's something inside of us that cannot understand how God could possibly want to reward us and not punish us for what we've done. Only in Jesus Christ, when we look at that and see the heart of God and realize this is God coming to earth so we can understand who he is. Only in Christ on that cross looking down and saying, "Father, forgive them. They don't really know what they're doing. They're blind. They can't see. But I'm dying on the cross so that their eyes could be opened. So that they could change and come into the kingdom of God, because you will wipe away and forgive their sins if they will turn to you." It is just impossible for a human being to believe that a God who is holy could have that much grace. And all the other religions are work-based. They're about improving yourself so that God would take you in. Only in Christianity, only through Christ, do we get a true picture of who God is and who we are, and there's still reconciliation. In John 8, 44 through 40, 41 through 44, they replied, and they say, "God himself is our true father." And Jesus told him, he said, "If God were your father, you'd love me. Because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things that he does." And as we look in Thessalonians, it tells us that clear choice of whether or not we believe the lie that God is who we want to make him up to be, or who he is, the truth of who he is. Because they were all condemned because they chose not the love of the truth, but to have pleasure in unrighteousness. And the motivation of the world is there certain things that I just don't think I'd be happy without. And I don't believe God can fulfill me. And Jesus says, that's your mindset right now. You're easily tempted and led away because you don't cling to me. You're not connected to God. You're connected to God on a surface way, but your heart's not connected to him. So every time there's a temptation, you separate from me and just push the presence of God out of your way. You go do what you want. You're lost. You're blind. You can't hear me. You can't see who God really is what Jesus is saying. And then in verse 47, he says, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. That's why we're all here. And we have a very, very fortunate position of, as you know, we started this church where it had whittled away everybody that wasn't here because this was their family and they were going to be, this is where God wanted them to serve. And this has slowly been, we had a visitor who came in today. I said, whose friend are you? He said, well, we just saw your church. That's unusual for us because we don't do things to pull people in to fill the seat up. We're about growing in Christ and everybody fulfilling their ministry of inviting someone in they have a relationship with who can see Christ in them, to get them in a place where you can see Christ actually lived out in relationships with people. And they can come in understanding that Christianity is not an event where I ask God to forgive me, but it's a commitment to live a lifestyle of being connected and following God with other people who want to do the same and want to encourage each other to do the same. And Jesus is doing what in our society is very difficult to do. He is saying, look, you are separated from God. You are lost. You say your Father is in heaven because you come to the synagogue and you read the Old Testament. But you're not hearing from God when you read that. It's just a bunch of rules that ends up being rules made by people about how to follow the rules. You're separated from God. And the proof of that is that you don't understand what I'm talking about. Because if you belong to God, whenever the truth is spoken, there's something in your heart that just, it wants to hear it. I want to know. I want to know who God is. I want to know how God feels about me. I want to know, how do I have the power to please him? How can I live more pleasing to God? There's something inside of you that gladly wants to hear God's words. And if it's not, you're lost. And Jesus just says it plain. In our society, that's just almost impossible for people to hear. In John 1, 10 through 13, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own, even they rejected him. But to all who believed, all who clung to him and accepted him, and that doesn't mean I prayed a prayer and accepted Christ as my Savior. That means I have accepted him as the King of the universe, my Creator, who owns me, not just because he created me, but he owns me because I was lost and condemned, and he died for me and bought me back with his own blood. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. We've been given the right to be God's children. They are reborn in verse 13, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. In John 3:3, Jesus is trying to explain this to a teacher of the law, Nicodemus. And Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, this is true, and let me say that again. This is true. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Without having an experience where the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and God reveals himself to us, that he is here, and he is bigger than we are, and he is calling me, and we are separated from him, and we are apart. And something in our heart tells us that there is nothing in this world of meaning without being attached to God. And we don't know what that means, but we know we have to step that way and follow him. Everyone who's born again has had that experience. Unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God, Jesus says. You can't even see it. You don't understand it. It's why you don't desire it. It's why we do desire it, because God has revealed it to us. In John 3:16 through 18, after that conversation, Nicodemus, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the only Son of God." You read that verse right there, and to some people, it can be terrifying. To other people, it just evokes this gratitude to God to realize that I was blind. It's like Brandon was saying. He was sitting in church. He'd been to church. But he didn't really realize what it meant to be in the kingdom of God. He knew what it meant to be religious. He knew what it meant to know I need God in some areas, and I need him to come in where I'm having trouble. But he didn't realize that sin is when you say, "I'm in control, I'll give you parts of my heart. I'm in control, and I know you know some good things, and I need some advice. But I'm going to make the bottom line decision because I think I know what's best for me." And having his eyes open to realize that he could just surrender to the Lord. And when he opens up that book, God speaks and answers. And God guides. And we see more and more as we live through our experiences how wonderful and great and gracious God is to us. And so we just want to worship him. So if you'll just close your eyes, and right now just lift your thoughts up. And I'm just going to give you a few minutes of silence here because when the Holy Spirit speaks, he's speaking to each heart individually. And I don't know what God is speaking to you, and I don't know where you are. But if you're in a place where God is speaking to you, and in your heart you're realizing that you are separated from him, this is the time to surrender to him and just to accept the forgiveness through Christ and ask him to give you the ability to know you and to follow you and to grow. And if you're in that place where that is where you are, and as you hear this message, you're grateful for that. All of us are in a place where God is still working to make us like Christ. And whatever area he is speaking to you and saying, "Come closer here," then just have a conversation with God about that. But I'm going to give you just a moment just to pray. Father, we just lift our eyes up to you right now. And as we come into this Christmas season where we celebrate Jesus coming on earth as the Christ, as our leader, the anointed one to lead us to you. And we look at his life and we see who he was and how he lived and how you want us to live. And we see that in every area of his life, he didn't do anything and he didn't say anything that he didn't hear from the Father. And Father, we know we got a long way to go to be able to say that in our lives. And we realize that we're not going to get there until we see you face to face in heaven. But we also realize that our lives are and should be a progression of growth, becoming more and more like Christ as you renew our mind. And Father, as I heard someone saying this morning, they realized through this COVID and through things that were happening that they had a lot more time on their hands, and their human nature wanted to fill it with activities. It didn't want to take the opportunity of that extra time to be able to grow closer to you, but it wanted to fill it with working in the yard or with Netflix or something like that. And Father, we know that we cannot be who you want us to be, or we can't follow the example of Christ if we're not letting your word come in and grab a hold of our hearts. And I know we're in the world, and you don't take us out of the world, and we can't just ignore the world. We have a lot of responsibilities, and we have a lot of things that are calling out that have to be done. But there's one important thing that we cannot live without, and that is without making the time for you in our lives. Don't let us deceive ourselves into thinking that we can't hear from you and still follow you. Above all else, we need you. Jesus Christ died that we could be in contact, connected with you. God, help us to take that time to keep that connection and to help that connection to grow so that throughout our daily lives as we walk, our awareness of you and the ability for your Spirit to pull that word back up into our mind to guide us is always there. We give our lives to you and our hearts to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you've provided an opportunity for us to do that. And we thank you for the quality of life, the joy, the peace, the fulfillment that comes from being who you want us to be. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.